I want to talk today about strong men. Strong men. Now you might wonder where this is going, but let's notice an example here. We have a lot of problems that exist in the world today because of the sins of our forefathers. We have people that have all kinds of debilities of one type or another, and they certainly aren't growing up to be strong men, or strong women for that matter. Let's notice what we read here, Exodus 34 and verse number 7. Exodus 34 and verse number 7. Here we read that God keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So the sins of the fathers are inherited by the children. And that's why we read here in Ezekiel 18 and verse number 2, what do you mean when you use this proverb saying in the land of Israel, quote, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? Now let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Researchers have produced the first clear evidence for a gene common in the population that dictates why some people gain weight and others do not. Now where in the world do these genes come from? They found the gene called FTO by studying nearly 39,000 white Europeans and finding, they hope, ways to lead against the global health problem. The researchers emphasized, however, genetics alone cannot fully account for the worldwide surge in obesity in recent decades that experts attribute to multitudes of people eating too much of the wrong foods and getting too little exercise. And those factors are true. I would point out, however, that the big food manufacturing companies are right in the thick of it, because they're after one thing, the buck. And it's stated that if you start out eating junk food as a child, that's what your parents feed you, that's what you're going to want to eat all your life. Now, here's an example. Sometimes an abnormal gene can cause or contribute to the occurrence of a birth defect, such as bodily destruction, dwarfism, and so forth, function like a mental retardation, body chemistry, which causes mental retardation and death mainly in Eastern European, Jewish, and French-Canadian heritage. Several thousand different birth defects have been identified. They occur in one in every 28 births. Birth defects also may result from environmental factors such as drug or alcohol abuse, certain infections, or exposure to certain medications or other chemicals. Often birth defects seem to reflect a combination of both heredity and environment. Genetic counseling helps people to identify and understand the particular traits they may pass on to their children and also to determine particular risks that may influence pregnancy outcomes. So we have a lot of physical problems that make us what we are, and they've come down the line through inheritance. And so one of the first things we have to look at when we're talking about a strong man or a strong woman, we're looking at our physical makeup, our inheritance. How do we get the way we are? Now, let's look at diet and health. I talked a little bit about diet earlier. Let me point out a few things to you here. You find out all these things that are going on, you wonder why people aren't a lot sicker. Now, you have clear back in the book of Leviticus and both Deuteronomy, you have health laws that tell you what to eat and not to eat with respect to meat and fish. How many people pay heed to those things today? They don't give a hoot what the Bible says. If it tastes good, that's what they're going to eat. How about you? Now, you can consider what happened there in the book of Acts. You remember in Acts, the 10th chapter, when Peter, in this vision, saw all these unclean animals come down on this sheet, and the voice said, "Rise, Peter, eat, rise and eat." Peter said what? "Let me at it. I can't wait to eat all these lizards and snakes and all this stuff that people will eat." crawdads and snakes. Well, what did Peter say? Not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. Common means something that died of itself or was strangled by dogs or something, wasn't bled properly. Well, let's notice. You look at that, you consider that, these abominable things that people eat, and they are called an abomination with respect to meat, and then you consider all the things they have probably put in the meat. Here's an example. Here's Monsanto. I can tell you it's one of the most, well, I don't want to say evil, but if you knew the things they pull. For example, they're developing these genetic foods, genetic feeds of one type or another. They plant it in a field, and if the seed flies and goes over to some man who's not growing this kind of thing, and they find a little patch of it in his yard, he can be sued and his entire property taken away from him because that's theft. That's what Monsanto has pulled. It's a crooked organization from top to bottom. They don't give a hoot about people. All they give a hoot about is that bottom line, that buck. Monsanto has used similar paid shills, and you know they get these people get out there and do their talk for them, and other techniques to propagandize the safety of genetically modified food, aspartame and other products, including wrecking the careers of scientists who discover problems with their products. When Dr. Putzai, Arfad Putzai, conducted studies showing that rats fed on certain GM potatoes suffered stunted growth and damage to the immune system, liver, and heart, he was suspended from his job, ordered to hand over his data, and threatened with legal action if he spoke to anybody about the subject. That's the kind of power these people have. Now, you think the FDA is up there looking out for your interest? You're daydreaming. The FDA was started originally to protect the big vested interests. That's the name of the game. Now, once in a while, they'll do a little good, you know, to make you think they're doing something. But 90% of the time, they're only protecting these money-grubbing, greedy people who are only looking out for their own selves. Here's another example. You've heard this recently in the news. Big deal. Companies swapping trans fat for different but also dangerous fat. Just because it says no trans fat, you better be careful. Research indicates that a new method of modifying fat in the commercial products, interesterified fat, which is intended to replace trans fat, raises blood glucose and depresses insulin. The process hardens fat in much the same way that the process that creates trans fatty acids. So you better be careful. You know, I don't think there's anything we buy. We don't always get everything perfect because sometimes you can't. But every time we buy something, we look at the label to see what's in it. You better learn to do the same thing. You better find out what's good and what's bad. Here's another one. Safeway's processing plants in both Portland and Seattle are now free of milk tainted with BGH hormone. Safeway is requiring the dairy farmers supply them milk. They must sign affidavits stating they do not use BGH. Now that's Safeway. I wonder what all the rest of the gunk they have in it is. Now, who's pushing clone meat? To find out who's behind the movement to legalize clone meat, all that needs to be done is to follow the money trail. The FDA's risk assessment relies heavily on the work of animal cloning companies. Yeah. They tell them what's good and what's bad, and the FDA just goes along with it. More than a quarter of the 700-page draft consists of data from these two companies, and while on the surface the draft addresses some public safety issues, commercial interests largely inform the substance of the draft. And polls have shown that the American public does not want cloned meat and certainly wants it to be labeled. The FDA has stated it cannot require labeling. Now, who do you think got them to do that? Enough to make you sick, isn't it? You eat that stuff and you will be sick sooner or later. Walmart. Walmart's entry into the organic food market has as predicted lowered standards of these products by demanding low prices from suppliers and sourcing supplies from factory farms and overseas suppliers. Walmart has failed to respond to requests to consumer organizations that they stop selling Horizon and Aurora organic milk, which comes from intensive confinement factories, farm dairies, and to stop importing cheap and possibly selected organic foods from China and Brazil. So you go down to Walmart where you think you're going to save some money, and what are you buying? I don't have a lot of use for Walmart, frankly. But people are still going to go there because that's where they can save some money. I'll have to confess I've even done it myself a few times. 10 things a butcher won't tell you. Meat processors inject their products with salt and lots of it. Cleanliness in your grocery store's meat department isn't automatic. Much of the ground beef used to make hamburgers could come from anywhere because it's extracted using an unappealing process called advanced meat recovery. And I'll say this, back in Missouri when I was there many, many years ago, a friend of one of the church members there had a brother who worked in a packing plant. He said he would never eat wieners or sausage. And I won't tell you why. You can figure it out for yourself. Many butchers you see working in grocery stores don't know much at all about the meats they're selling or how to prepare them properly, and grocery meats are often case-ready, meaning they come prepackaged and ready for sale before they arrive, and what's in them. Here's one more. Beware, the Teflon deception continues. Evidence continues to mount that PFC emissions from synthetic compounds and nonstick cookware and cleaning products produced by DuPont, here's another one of your big outfits, it may cause cancer and other health problems. It cannot be broken down by heat. Light microbes have been shown to cause tumors in the pancreas, livers, testicles, thyroid, and mammary glands in animal studies. That is this particular compound that's on these things. Workers involved in manufacturing PFOA, which is these chemicals in there, are also shown to be 3 times as likely to die of prostate cancer as those who weren't. So you see, this is what I'm talking about. We have health problems, don't we? So we wonder, you know, why we have bad health and why we don't have good, strong bodies. Well, of course, we have now. If you turn on the TV, I mean, you can go in and flip the channels and almost not every other. That's an exaggeration. But you're bound to find sooner or later you'll see these exercise programs going out there. You see them, these women, most of them seem to be women that are really exercising. Well, that's all right. Bodily exercise is all right. Certainly for men. Benefits of strength training: increased muscular strength, increased strength of tendons and ligaments, potentially improves flexibility, range and motion of joints, reduce body fat and increase lean body mass, potentially decreases the resting systolic and diastolic blood pressure, positive changes in blood cholesterol, improve glucose tolerance and insulin sensitivity, improve strength, balance, and functionability in older adults. So exercise is good. And remember what Paul said here in 1 Timothy 4:8. Let me read it here. Some people, of course, make a religion or a fetish out of it. And I guess that's good, because I remember years ago here with Jack LaLanne. I think back 50 years ago here with Jack LaLanne on TV, and he was young and vigorous, and he had all these people doing these programs. And what is he, 85, 88, now, and he's still on TV doing these exercises, so it's done him some good. But as we read here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 8, bodily exercise profits a little, or as some of the translations say, a little while, meaning as long as you're here on this earth, you can profit from exercise. It's a good thing to do some every day, or at least a few times a week. But here's one example I'm talking about. Here's Dr. Donahue. I can play about any position in baseball, including the catcher and pitcher, but I'm not a good hitter. I read that a faster swing somehow makes it easier to hit the ball. Would training with weights give me a faster swing, and how do I go about it? And he goes through the whole process here of what this fellow should do to improve his speed. And if he goes through certain exercise and does a number of things here for him, then he can increase his strength training and his speed considerably. So it just shows you that there's a benefit to it, all right. But you see, I'm not really so much interested in the physical man. What I'm really getting at is the spiritual man. That's the one I want to talk about. Because you'll see here, what I'm going to point out is every one of these things I'm talking about apply to building yourself into a strong spiritual man or woman. Every one of them. Now, let's start out with our inheritance. And I'm talking here now about our past backgrounds. What's our past background has been? Well, let's notice 1 Corinthians 6. And I'm not saying everybody to the same degree has been involved in these things. Although I'll say this, back in the past when we had big churches, I had churches as big as 750 at a time. And there was no end to the kind of problems and situations and backgrounds that people came from in those days. I think it's quite a bit limited today because we're small and a good percentage of us haven't dealt in these things. But this is what goes on in the world. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. Now, what I want to hit on is the next verse. And such were some of you. That's been the background of a lot of people. But you were washed, and you have been sanctified, and you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So regardless of what one's background may be, one is able to change if he has a desire. I've known homosexuals in the past who changed. So it can certainly be done if someone realizes the importance of it. Ephesians 2, verse number 2. Ephesians 2, verse number 2. Paul says, you are dead in trespasses and sin in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Anybody here never walked to the course of this world? What about the fact that you might have one of your feet in the world? Certainly as adults, we've all walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Now that's the background that a great number of Christians come from. So when you look at that, you can certainly say that there have been some handicaps as far as our spiritual background is concerned. There have been some very serious handicaps. Romans 6, verse number 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You know something? It says here, doctrine should be obeyed. Now, you have all kinds of people today don't think you need to obey doctrine. Doesn't make any difference what the Bible says. They're just going to do what they want to do themselves. And I'll tell you what that means. They have no fear of God. They will, sooner or later. I'll tell you one thing I wonder about. I'm not the judge of this, and only God is. But you look at these people who perpetrate these horrible crimes that people have done in the past and as they do today. And I wonder, I've actually wondered, when those people come up in the resurrection and they're going to be judged, I wonder if they're going to be so hard-hearted and carnal and rebellious that they will refuse to repent and they'll go to the lake of fire. There are people who are going to go to the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is not some subterranean cavern down in the bottom of the earth where people roast like a pig on a stick over fire. That was a pagan custom that entered into the church about the 3rd or 4th century and was popularized by a man by the name of Dante Alighieri, and that's how it was swallowed and believed today, and it's a cock and bull story if there ever was one. Now, that talks about our background, our spiritual background, and we're talking spiritually now here. Now, we're not talking physically. What about the spiritual diet we had? If we had any at all. Good percentage of people never even had a spiritual diet. It's like Jesus said in John 3:19. Men love darkness rather than light because they don't want their deeds revealed. The scripture makes them uncomfortable. And I can tell you this. People don't realize this. If you read the scripture and you get the impact of what it says, it's shocking. It is really shocking. But that's when people don't get. They don't realize the importance of it. Now, Jesus, you know, he argued all the time with these religious leaders, these Sadducees and these Pharisees and these so forth. And notice what he said here in John 8, verse number 43. He said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Why can't you get it? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're of your father, the devil." That was the source of their religious beliefs. The same is true today. And so people, in reality, they can't grasp and understand the truth. Or, if they take up religion, they are carried away by some fraudulent version, and there are plenty of them out there. I can tell you where you can find them without number. Just start reading the internet. You want to get fouled up and messed up in your life, start reading the internet and believing what you read on that stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is a sample of it. This has been the spiritual diet of many people. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 4. "He who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have accepted, you may well put up with it." I was reading this morning a comment by Jerry Falwell, and he was talking about the new emerging church. And you can't believe what that is. Their viewpoint is that you can have any kind of a doctrine you want to, as long as it isn't outlandish. And it's perfectly all right for ministers to get up in public and curse and use foul language, because that's what's so popular today in the world, and we want to be like the rest of the world. That's the emerging religion. Yes, and he says, "These are false apostles. These people do these things. They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." Well, the devil is not going to come in such a way you're going to recognize him. He's going to come in such a way that you won't. He's not going to come with a pitchfork and horns either. So that's been our past spiritual diet, hasn't it? 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 17. "We are not as so many peddling the word of God." Or notice what Paul says here in the marginal rendering, "adulterating for gain." Adulterating for gain the word of God, but as of sincerity. You amazed how many people do that. You know, I don't know how many ministers there were down there in Worldwide Church of God, as soon as the doctrinal changes, went along with it just like that. Now, you have to conclude one or two things. Either they never believed it in the first place, so it didn't make any difference what the church taught, or number two, they were more interested in their paychecks than they were in the truth. They were hirelings. So there have been plenty of those around, too. And Ephesians 4, verse number 14. Ephesians 4, verse number 14. "We need to grow as a successor to the mature man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." I'm amazed how people, they've never really proven the truth. They've never really studied it out. It hasn't been that serious to them. Then some charlatan comes along and he'll swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I never saw the likes of it. That's what goes on in this world today. All right, now, I talked about strength building, didn't I? Body conditioning. Well, we need to do some spiritual body building, too. Some spiritual building. Let's notice Luke 13 and verse number 24. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. It takes effort. There has to be determination there. There has to be a desire. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And some of the translations say, will not have the strength. Well, I can show you where you can get that strength, but remember what we read in Acts 14, verse number 22. It is by much tribulation that you enter the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. So when you become a Christian, you're not going into a life of ease. You're going into a life of trial and testing. And that's the way it's going to be all the way through. But you know, what's human nature like? Well, here's an example of it. Hosea 6, verse number 4. This illustrates how people are spiritually. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? Your faithfulness is like a morning cloud and like the early dew. It goes away. They don't have any stamina. And after a while, they just fade away. And that's not building spiritual character. Romans 1, verse number 17. Romans 1, verse number 17. You know, the whole Christian ordeal of overcoming and enduring to the end is based on what? Faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to obey God. If you don't have faith to trust God's word and God's promises, you're not going to do it. You'll just use your own human reasoning, and you'll let your own lusts and desires be first. Here's what you read. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the key to really building character and becoming a strong spiritual person, man or woman. Now, as I said earlier, we all haven't had the best backgrounds by any means. Some of us have had bad backgrounds. And I'm including, of course, all you folks out there on the phone lines as well. But let's notice what we read here in Isaiah 1, verses 16 through 18. Beginning in verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Now, next Sabbath, God willing, I'm planning on giving a sermon on common sense. And you're going to see the importance of this principle itself, right in the matter of common sense. Why do some people have common sense and can see the reality of things and what the solution is, and others, it just completely goes over them and they can never have any common sense? It just evades them all their lives. There's a reason for it. In fact, there are several reasons. That's why he says here, learn to do good, seek justice. Come now, verse 18, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient. If you are willing and obedient. So that's where spiritual building begins to take place. And in 1 Peter 4, verses 2 and 3, 1 Peter 4, verses 2 and 3. The believer should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. I'm not presuming we have done that here. Now, maybe I could be wrong. But I can certainly say this. Many, many people that I've known in the past have lived this kind of a life, and they were able to change. But you see, it takes a little bit of the knowledge of the truth first, doesn't it? My people, God says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And as he says to the clergy of this world, because you rejected knowledge, I've rejected you. You shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the Lord your God. Yeah, we have a whole legislature up here in Salem and a governor. That fits them to the T, doesn't it? John 6, verse number 27. John 6, verse number 27. You want to build up spiritual strength? Here's an important key. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. If your heart and your desires are wrapped up in what this world has got to offer you, and that's what you live for, that's all you're going to get in the end. You've got to labor for the spiritual things, for God's kingdom, because I can tell you, we have a physical body. And on the surface, we're, you know, we have a complexion, we have a skin, and we have these appendages and all these parts. What's inside of us? You know, this human body dies. What happens to it? You wouldn't want to be around it if it weren't tended to after 3 or 4 days or maybe a week. I don't know how many times I've seen these criminal shows and these documentaries where these police officers walk into a room where there's been a dead body, and the first thing they do is they put a handkerchief over top of their noses so they can't smell the terrible stench. That's what this body is. It's only going to last you so long. Then what's going to happen after that? That's what you need to be thinking about. Now, of course, when you're young, you think you're immortal. But you will be shocked someday, if time goes on that long, how fast it really went by. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You have to build character. You have to become a strong man or woman of God. Now, you have to have the right spiritual diet along with it, don't you? We talked about diet and health, didn't we, physically? Well, is there such a thing as a healthy diet spiritually? You bet. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is an example of it. Now, remember, at this time, the New Testament wasn't written, so this was based on what was understood from the old, and Paul is telling us here, if we understand properly from the old, we will be able to grasp the new. So as we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly, and the word should be here, taking a straight path, being able to divide and take the straight path toward the word of truth. But shun vain and idle babblings, they'll increase to the more ungodliness. So you people get discussing all these religious issues and it's just a bunch of vain babble. You listen to that kind of stuff and I can tell you your diet is going to take you to destruction eventually. Romans 10, verse number 17. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith. And I said earlier that one of the most important ingredients in your life in enduring to the end and building the character necessary for God's kingdom is to have faith. And how do you gain faith? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. I'm going to get to this a little bit later on here. What if you don't have time to read the word of God? You're too busy dabbling with this and dabbling with that and reading this website garbage and reading this website garbage, and you don't get your nose in the Bible. That's what the problem is. You're not going to get it there. That is, in these myriad of weird websites. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, as we read here in Hebrews 5 and verse number 13, Hebrews 5 and verse number 13, as he says here, we have such to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And here were people who have been around for years, and now they're dull of hearing. They don't hear anymore. They've allowed themselves just to get into a spirit of lethargy, spiritual lethargy, where they're more wrapped up in the things of this world than they are in God. For that this time, by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. That's people who are lax in really studying God's Word. They don't have time for it. You know, it tells you here in the book of Hebrews, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. As I said earlier, if you grasp what the Scripture really says, it's shocking. And it says it cuts right down to the dividing the marrow and the bone if it gets into you, as it should. And that's what the Word of God really is. James 1, verse number 18. Of his own will he begat us by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now let me ask you this question. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, is God leading you into error? They couldn't comprehend that down in Worldwide when they made those changes down there. They had no idea they were actually rejecting the Holy Spirit, and that's what happened to them. I saw 100,000 people just lose it like that. They didn't appreciate God's Word, and they didn't realize that if you're begotten by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led into truth. Now, if you can't comprehend the truth and you're not led into truth, then it should be very obvious. You don't have the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. And attending church doesn't guarantee you that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11. All these things happened to them. See, we're talking about the Old Testament time period. All these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So those things are all very good lessons, it says, the Old Testament. That's why it's so valuable. Now, let's consider something here. If you want a proper spiritual diet so you can become a strong spiritual man, a strong man or a strong woman, are there some tools you need to use? What are the tools God's provided for you? You know, if you were going to build up your muscles, I remember when I was a boy, they had these Charles Atlas ads all the time. I found out later that whole thing was a fake. Charles Atlas was dynamic tension. A lot of you probably won't even know what I'm talking about. But you are supposed to go through these exercises where you tighten up your muscles and you pull, and you have an imaginary thing you're pulling against, and it's supposed to build your muscles up. Didn't build anything up. I don't know how much long I went at it and didn't build a thing. I found out later he wouldn't tell the truth because he was afraid if he told him that wouldn't help anybody to build muscles. But if you told him how to really build muscles by lifting heavy weights and by eating a good diet, he's afraid people would get injured and then he'd be sued. That was a fraud behind that thing. I knew a fellow that grew right up here in Eugene. And he was a little skinny 90-pound runt. And he was in high school and the bigger boys were telling him what a little runt, skinny little twerp he was. He got so mad he went home and he got a set of weights and he started eating the diet. And I tell you, by the time he was about a sophomore in high school, he was about a 190-pound bag of muscles, boy, and I'm not kidding. I saw him pick, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds it was. He picked it up and went over his head. He asked me to try. I'd better since. You can build up muscles if you really want to, but it takes determination. Now, I can say this. You can also build up spiritual strength if you're really determined and you're going to be that kind of a person. What are the tools I'm talking about? This is probably one of the most neglected. Prayer. You're going to get nowhere without prayer. And if you think you're going to get by in a little 5 or 10 minute prayer a day, you're just kidding yourself. It isn't going to work. We always said you ought to have at least a minimum of a half hour prayer every day on your knees. I remember the first time I started trying to pray. If I got by 5 minutes, it was a miracle in itself. And Jesus even tells you how to pray. He gives you an outline. He said, pray after this manner. But if you don't have time to pray, I can tell you, it's only going to be a matter before you're going to lose it. That's one of the most important tools that you have. Notice Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And verse number 6. Notice what he said here, beginning in verse 5. When you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. When you pray, then you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to be standing in the synagogues and so forth. But when you pray, go to your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's what you better be doing. You're not going to make it if you don't. That's why the Bible tells you in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It means to be in an attitude of prayer. And certainly when someone is ill or in dire need of one type or another, this is what James said. This is an important thing. James 5 and verse 13, is anyone suffering? Let him pray. And I'll include in that, pray for one another and pray for those who are sick. You know, we have brethren out there that are scattered and by themselves. If you take a little time to write them or email them, make contact with them, help them to realize that they're a part of the church too. But certainly prayer must not be overlooked. Now what's the next tool God has given you? Study. But you're not going to grow spiritually if you're studying all kinds of garbage on websites. This attitude and that thing. You better get your nose in the Bible. That's where you're going to get it. And I can tell you one of the most fundamental principles of the Bible. It does not contradict. Jesus said so. Now either you believe that or you might as well just throw the towel in right now. You read clear-cut scriptures that make it very plain what the scriptures mean, then you find vague ones, and if you put the interpretation on those vague ones and in turn contradict what's absolutely clear, you've missed a boat. This is what has been done with Paul's epistles, all these so-called scholars. The biggest mistake you can make is to try to interpret the Bible by Paul's epistles. It's got to be the other way around. Paul has to be understood in the light of what the clear-cut scriptures say. That's why they're so confused on this thing about the law. They don't even know what Paul's talking about. He isn't talking about the law of God. He's talking about the Jewish law of sacrifices and all these things the Jews required. That's what the whole issue is. They don't have enough sense to even understand that, most of these so-called scholars. So you better study. You better have your nose in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. He's writing, Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me and so far. And then as he says here in verse number 15, and from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, those scriptures pointed to Christ, and then they had to make the shift from this perverted Jewish religion that the Jews had perverted from the original law of Moses, and then realized Christ fulfilled that. Now what do you think of a nation, and what do you think of a college educational system that gets up there and gives a memorial service for people that are dead and never even mentions Jesus Christ? What do you think of that? What do you think of a nation that's headed in that direction? I tell you, don't be surprised if the curses don't fall on this land right and left. Romans 15:4. whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. But you know something? That means you got to read the Scriptures, doesn't it? You don't have time to read the Scriptures. You don't have time for salvation, I can tell you that. Now, the next thing I want to point out is fasting. Fasting occasionally when you really feel you have the need for it. Let's notice here Matthew 6. It doesn't need to be done on a regular basis necessarily. Like, remember what he said, the Pharisee said, I fast, what is it, twice in the week? Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, then don't be like the hypocrites. But he says here, when you fast, in verse 17, anoint your head and wash your face, so you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's one of the tools. And certainly when there are times when someone is in a lull, that's the time to really realize the importance of fasting and getting back close to God. I'll just mention 2 Corinthians here because it's mentioned here. How many times did Paul fast? He said he was in fast often. Of course, he was in circumstances that put him under a tremendous amount of pressure. But now here's another one. This is a tool. Fellowship. Fellowship with people who are like-minded. Here you read in Malachi, here's a scripture that's dealing with the latter days. And what does it say here about the saints? Malachi 3 and verse number 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and those who esteem his name. They speak often one to another. Now, where do you have the opportunity to do that? On the Sabbath. That's what the Sabbath is for. But you know, when you find people who fall in this category, this is Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25, beginning in verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And then notice the next verse behind that. Why in the world would this verse be right in order with this? For if we are sinning willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Right in conjunction with fellowshipping regularly. People take the Sabbath entirely too lightly. You look back in the Old Testament period, and what were the two sins Israel was driven into captivity over? Sabbath breaking and idolatry. Those two sins, which actually involved the first four commandments against God. It's important. And let's just close here by noticing what we're told in Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking here about being a strong man. A sermon on being a strong man, but what I'm emphasizing here is being a strong spiritual man or woman. I'm using the word man broadly to include mankind. But here's what we read in Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where you're going to get it. But you have to apply these tools. And in addition to that, you have to remember what Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. You have to have the power of God's Spirit, and you have to use these tools and take these things seriously.